Welcome to the East County Magazine Live Radio Show, the voice of East County, bringing you the hottest news and coolest events from the communities of San Diego's East County. We're your community radio, representing the public interest, not special interests. Broadcasting from the heart of East County in Descanso with your host, Miriam Raftery.
This is Miriam Raftery with the East County Magazine Show on KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, recording at the San Diego Performance Academy. We open our show today with a very important health alert for consumers seeking health care coverage. The California Assembly Republican Caucus, chaired by East County Representative Brian Jones, is drawing criticism nationwide for creating a website designed to mimic the state's official Covered California site. CoveredCA.com is the official state site for consumers to get information and sign up for health care exchange coverage under the Federal Affordable Care Act or Obamacare. The Republican site, however, has a similar domain name, covering CoveredCA.com, which is labeled as a California resource guide. Republican members, including Jones, are promoting the phony health care site directly to constituents on their official assembly websites, paid for by taxpayers. A Los Angeles Times economics writer called the action an underhanded anti-Obamacare stunt by the California GOP. The LA Times further advised that constituents needing useful information about how to deal with the Affordable Care Act would be well advised to look elsewhere. As an aid to understanding and navigating the Affordable Care Act's new requirements and opportunities for coverage, the GOP site is worse than useless, the Times concluded. For example, the Republican site mentions only bronze plan options, but fails to mention three other levels, silver, gold, and platinum, that include options for higher levels of care. The Republican site focuses only on costs and penalties, not benefits of these plans. It suggests that seniors would be forced to pay higher taxes for closure of the donut hole and that young adults will pay higher premiums to cover older and sicker individuals. Initially, the Republican site did not even include a link to the real Covered California website, despite helpful-sounding links such as helping you navigate your federal health care changes. Links instead went to articles slamming the health care reforms. A link was added today, however, but only after East County Magazine and the Los Angeles Times made inquiries. We contacted California Attorney General Kamala Harris, whose office had previously forced at least 10 scam healthcare sites to be taken down. Her office pledged to look into the legality of the Republican site, which was launched in August, but only recently promoted heavily by Republican assembly members. Dr. Paul Song is an oncologist, cancer specialist, and the executive director of Courage Campaign. Here's what he had to say about the Republicans' so-called healthcare resource site. Quote, "It's outrageous that our elected officials in California are using taxpayer dollars to intentionally mislead their constituents and divert them from CoveredCA.com," Dr. Song said. "Republicans in California should be ashamed. The GOP's newest tactic is to lie to voters and prevent sick people from getting the care they'd need," he added. East County Magazine contacted Assemblymember Brian Jones' office. His staffer, Lori Paredes, said that his office had been receiving questions on the health care reforms and that the site provided a way to answer all questions in one place. She said the website is meant to educate consumers and provides, quote, "another format to answer questions from constituents." The problem is that the site does not simply answer questions. It spins the information and fails to provide consumers with accurate answers. Lives are at stake when it comes to health care coverage. The truth is that the health care exchanges have potential to help many Californians, although there are flaws and not everyone can qualify for the programs. If Assemblyman Jones and the Republican caucus had chosen to engage in an honest critique of the pros and cons of the plans with proposals for improvements, that would be an ethical and appropriate role for any elected official. But engaging in deceptive tactics that actively steer constituents away from the official site where they can sign up for health care coverage is deceitful to the people that public officials are elected to serve. The website itself clearly identifies the California Republican Assembly Caucus at the bottom of the page. An East County Magazine search of the WHOIS database further found that the website domain was registered by Sabrina Lockhart, Communications Director for Assembly Republican Leader Connie Conway, and the site is administered at the state capitol. Lockhart's official state webpage even features a screenshot of the phony healthcare site. Another Republican member, Shannon Grove, removed a similar display and link off of her state website after we placed calls to the Attorney General regarding the use of state resources for promoting the deceptive site. Assemblyman Jones' office still includes a link to the site on his page with the words Covering Healthcare, a California Resource Guide. Assembly Majority Leader Tony Atkins, a Democrat from San Diego, shared this reaction with East County Magazine. She said, "The Affordable Care Act has been the subject of much discussion since the October 1st implementation date. However, for Californians, CoveredCA.com is the only reliable official source of information about health care reform. I urge consumers to be cautious about relying on any other information. In the long run, the Affordable Care Act and Covered California will improve the lives of the more than 5 million uninsured Californians who will no longer face the fear of illness and injury without insurance and who won't be financially devastated by health care costs." Congresswoman Janice Hahn, a Democrat, has denounced the GOP site as little more than an attempt by Affordable Care Act opponents to undermine the law's success and prevent people who need health coverage from getting it. She called on Republican members of the State Assembly to take down the website immediately, adding, "Assembly Republicans should be focusing their resources on helping Californians, not deceiving the people they represent for political gain." Now, despite the Republican efforts to thwart consumers from learning about options under Covered California, the number of applications has soared. It now averages 10,000 applications a day on the site. And as of November 19th, 360,464 applications have been completed and applicants' eligibility determined for premium help or no-cost or low-cost Medi-Cal. For the week ending November 16th, the latest time period for which the data is available, 71,188 applications were completed, according to Covered California. Covered California has also just announced a self-help site for small businesses seeking healthcare options. For individuals and businesses who want to obtain information on California's healthcare exchange options, visit www.coveredca.com.
This is Leon Thompson reporting for East County Magazine about an officer who saved a man from a burning car. An unconscious motorist was rescued from a burning car Saturday night by San Diego police officer Scott Brenge. After the vehicle rolled over, the driver was trapped upside down, suspended by a seatbelt, when the vehicle caught fire. Officer Brenge pried open the door and crawled in on his back to pull the driver to safety just as flames reached the passenger compartment. The crash occurred on Rancho Mission Road near Ward Road in the Grantville area of eastern San Diego. According to Lieutenant Paul Rorison, the driver veered off the pavement and struck a fence near the trolley tracks, broke a pole, and then overturned. Lieutenant Rorison called Officer Brenge a hero. The driver is suspected of driving under the influence. He was transported by paramedics to Sharp Memorial Hospital with serious injuries. Officer Brenge was also taken to the hospital for treatment. He suffered an arm strain, but fortunately he is doing fine, according to SDPD Captain David Rowowitz.
Now it's time for the Green Scene Report, highlighting energy, environmental, and sustainability issues in our community.
This is Miriam Raftery with the East County Magazine Show on KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, broadcasting at the San Diego Performance Academy. My guest today is Martin Learn, and he's here to tell us all about solar. Martin, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much.
Now, Martin is the president of the San Diego-based Home Energy Systems. He started his work in photovoltaics back in Switzerland in the 1980s. He founded a nonprofit that researched PV and other renewables. He is on the board of Cal Solar Energies Association. He won a research contract from the California Energy Commission on solar illumination for commercial buildings. He earned an MBA from San Diego State, and he is living the lifestyle that he talks about. He lives comfortably off-grid in Julian. Now, Martin, when did you go off-grid, and how tough was that to do?
I was fortunate enough to find a 100-acre property, and it would have cost $100,000 to bring electric power in.
Wow.
And since I was already in the solar business, it's what I do. So
sure.
It was easy for me to put it together, and it's been very interesting. I'm working at checking it, and it's doing very well.
What does a system like that cost to go completely off-grid if you didn't work for a solar company? For the average person, what does something like that run?
A fairly robust system would cost about $30,000, mm-hmm. and that is eligible for the 30% federal tax credit, but not the state rebate.
Yeah, and then you have zero utility bills forever and ever and ever.
I love that.
I bet. Now, were you around during the big blackout? How'd that work out for you?
Oh, yeah. I came back home, and it was dark by that time, mm-hmm. and I could see my wife was watching the big screen TV in the living room, and the announcers on the newscast were looking at each other saying, I wonder if anybody's hearing us giving this broadcast, and I just broke out in the biggest grin.
There you go. Yeah, I've talked to other East County folks that were also off-grid at the time, and they loved that they were watching the big screen TV, chilling out with a cold one, and just enjoying being independent. I think it ties back into that spirit of independence that is what the original pioneers in East County were all about, don't you? The folks that came here and they were, you know, living off the land back in the 1800s.
I do feel that way where I live, because there is not a house for a quarter mile. Mm-hmm. And we have backup generator, which is a good idea. But I also feel more comfortable because we have a battery bank that'll supply electric power if there's a fire and the grid goes down.
That is very important. It's actually a security issue in the backcountry here. It is not just about saving on utility bills, but it could actually save your life to be able to get that broadcast and know when a wildfire is coming, keep your well water pumping if you're on electricity, all those different things.
The county requires sprinklers in a house, but they aren't any good if you don't have electric power to pump it.
Interesting point. Plus, if everybody did this, we wouldn't have power lines all over the place. We wouldn't need to be talking about things like nuclear power plants or some of these large, big, massive industrial scale energy projects that are so controversial.
Germany gets 20% of their electric power from renewables, mm-hmm. and California has maybe 2% with the ceiling drawn artificially at 5% renewables. And it's not impossible for SDG&E and PG&E and Edison to do the smart grid things that will be necessary to adapt to having renewable fluctuations in the supply.
Yeah.
Sempra has like 400 megawatts of renewables. Mm-hmm. themselves. They don't seem to talk about it too much, but it's a fact, and PG&E has more.
The nice thing about solar at an individual level, on a home, on a business, is that it doesn't create the environmental issues that some of the big projects, say, out in the desert areas with the wind or even the desert solar can cause. It's a much more environmentally friendly, human scale kind of a project. How much money do you estimate that you are saving every year by not being hooked up to the power grid?
I used to be spending maybe $75 a month between me and my wife, living fairly conservatively. Mm-hmm. So at least that much. We do have now a well pump and a booster pump because we're in the backcountry.
Right.
And that probably bumps it up to at least $100 a month.
So $1,200 a year.
Yeah.
At least. Yeah. Okay.
We also have protection from rate increases that may be coming down the line.
That's true. And security. What are some of the things that factor into making solar make economic sense nowadays? You know, 20 years ago, if someone wanted to go solar, it was great, but you know, you had to be pretty well off for the most part to do it. Is that still the case?
I've been in the business about 12 years now, and during that time, the price of a system has dropped 50%.
Wow.
There was a large rebate to start with from the California Solar Initiative, and they burned through $3 billion of mm-hmm. rebate money.
And, of course, meanwhile, the energy cost from SDG&E has gone up and up and up. We have the highest electricity rates in the country last time I checked, and that doesn't look like it's going to end anytime soon.
That's right.
Now, there are still federal tax credits. You mentioned 30%, I think?
Yes, and that's okay. Dollar for dollar, and it applies even to off-grid systems.
Now, there were some state incentives as well. And for a little while, I understood those had run out, but I believe you have some news for us on that today.
Well, yeah, the good news is that they have shifted some money around, and the state rebate is back in business. Mm-hmm. It's small, but it helps. It can be $1,000 for a 5-kilowatt system.
It could help you with some of that upfront, whatever the upfront cost is.
That's right.
Nice. Now, what does this do for property values? I know it increases it, but what's the latest figure in terms of just how much of that are you going to get back if you sell the house someday?
Wells Fargo sent out around a letter saying that it was the most cost-effective home improvement that anybody can do. You might say that it's like the new granite countertops.
Ah, yes.
That,
they used to say a kitchen remodel was the best thing you could do with granite
counters. When one person on a block gets it, then all of a sudden other people start seeing that it works. It's for real. Mm-hmm. And more people around that first house get systems.
Yeah. Now, in San Diego, we've got free available sunshine. The market for solar is fairly crowded here. What should a property owner look for in a solar installer from a completely, you know, impartial standpoint here? Martin, what are some of the ways that you can make sure that you're getting somebody who's reputable?
Okay. Having longevity in the field, I think, matters. Mm-hmm. It means a demonstrated commitment to being there. You gain a lot of experience. If you're specializing in PV,
photovoltaic,
you're probably not a roofing company or even a electrician company or doors and windows or something.
Mm-hmm.
But we are probably the oldest company in San Diego doing exclusively photovoltaics, mm-hmm. that's solar electric systems, for residences.
Is there any kind of licensing or places people can check out a solar contractor if they want to be sure that somebody doesn't have a bunch of complaints?
Very important to make sure that the contractor is licensed and he has the liability insurance and work comp, because mm-hmm. some don't, and that would shift some liability to the homeowner. So it is important to check references. Check with other customers that have installed with that business.
What about the products themselves? Can you tell us a little bit about the components of a solar system? And there again, how do you make sure that you're getting a quality product? Is cheaper necessarily the best way to go?
Good question. The panels themselves, photovoltaic panels, make DC electric power, which has to go through an inverter.
Mm-hmm.
And it's either going to be a micro inverter that's attached directly to each individual panel, or a string inverter in which you might put 10 or 20 panels in a string.
And that converts it to AC electricity?
It makes AC, which is compatible with the grid, and all our devices at home are AC powered. So getting a 10-year warranty or even a 25-year warranty on inverters is great. The companies give a 10-year warranty on the installation, and the panels have a 25-year warranty, which guarantees either 80% production in year 25, or in the case of SunPower, 87.7%.
Mm-hmm. Now, I understand there's some new technology out there in inverters that can help provide homeowners with a temporary power backup for their houses during an emergency, for example, during a blackout or a brownout or a wildfire that brings the power down. Tell me about that.
Okay, the SMA company is German, mm-hmm. and they make a very high-quality inverter, which only recently has a transformerless model come out that has this daytime 1,500 watts of power mm-hmm. that's available when the sun's out.
Okay.
And when the sun goes down, then the power turns off like it would have been in the first place. But the benefit there is that you can run your refrigerator, and during the warmer day, your freezer remains cold and your refrigerator is working.
So it could really
and
be
at,
a big
at
minus.
Night, it kind of coasts through the night.
Yeah.
But it's also important for communications, for charging cell phone batteries.
Right, computer access.
Yeah, you can run your computer. 1,500 watts is enough to run a refrigerator and a few little things, but not for electric heating and not for big motors and pumps.
Yeah, but it can certainly get your communications going, as you mentioned, so that you can get those very important updates about the progress of a wildfire, emergency notifications, evacuation notices.
That's right.
Nowadays, a lot of that comes by email and so forth.
You can charge your own batteries so that you have electric lighting at night from battery power.
Well, there you go. How do people get one of these new inverter power backups?
Well, you kind of have to ask for it. It's mm-hmm. not automatic. It doesn't add much at all to the cost of a system, and it has a great advantage for people to be able to have electric power when the grid goes down.
Very important. And I believe they're actually free with new installations right now. Is that correct? But you can retrofit, but it's free if someone's getting a new...
Yeah, it's virtually the same price.
Yeah, interesting. Very, very, very good to know. If people want an analysis of how much they might save in their own home, is that something that's available?
Yes, we do that every time because we want to produce what's right for the customer, not more than he needs, and it's possible to get his bill down to about $5 a month right now.
Wow.
That'll be going up to $10 pretty soon.
And how do you do
minimum
that?
Bill. But the most cost-effective thing to do is to generate enough power from solar that you get out of the upper tiers of the bill.
I see. So if you can't afford to cover your entire roof in solar, go completely off-grid, even just doing a little bit can be enough to still mean some substantial savings on your utility bills.
Doing a little bit will come right off the most expensive fraction of the bill.
Ah, so you go into drop into a lower tier for
rent. That's right. That's right. So if we can get you down into tiers 1 and 2, then you might be paying only 14 or 15 cents per kilowatt hour. That may be going up in the future, but
yeah, that makes sense. Very good.
I would be very happy to evaluate anybody's home to make sure that solar is right for them. But in general, if somebody has $150 a bill per month, you can get much better cost of electric power from solar than from buying it from the utility company.
But I understand, too, that for folks who may have a challenge with their roof, maybe the roof is shaded, faces the wrong way, can't support the weight of solar, some of the older houses, that there's some other options now, too.
Well, think of patio cover mounting or even ground mounts on a hillside, because it can open up more area for panels. But if with the patio cover or even a roof mount,
the carport cover, I guess.
Yes, the carports. They provide shading on the house, which will reduce the air conditioning bills further.
Makes sense.
And it can be really noticeable. I want to make sure that people understand that we are doing the highest quality work, because I like to sleep, so that people will have a 30-year investment that will increase the value of their house while saving them on electric power.
Now, if people want to get more information about home energy systems or any of the things that we've talked about today, how do they get in touch with you, Martin?
Well, our website is www.hessolar.com, hessolar.com.
Well, Martin, thank you very much for joining us here today on the East County Magazine Show on KNSJ.
Thank you. It's a pleasure.
Despite protests from Campo residents, the state of California has proposed a new location in this rural community to house a sexually violent predator, Douglas Badger, age 70. The home is located at 1138 Custer Road. It's about 200 yards from the nearest neighbor and 2.2 miles from the nearest elementary school. Public comment on the proposed location can be submitted until December 20th. Email submissions should be sent to sdsafe@sdsheriff.org. Comments can also be submitted by phone by calling 858-495-3619. State officials have also scheduled a January 3rd hearing. The California Department of State Hospitals previously proposed releasing Badger at a different location, also in Campo, but after protests by residents, the property owner withdrew his offer to house Badger there. Badger has been convicted of kidnapping and raping young male hitchhikers and sexually assaulting a young girl. He's been diagnosed as a sexual sadist, served several long terms in state prison for his crimes, including an attack in San Diego. He spent another 18 years in a state mental hospital. Badger was later released to a trailer on the grounds of Donovan State Prison in Otay Mesa, but was returned to Atascadero State Hospital due to a regression in his mental state and psychological diagnoses before the state deemed him ready for release. Supervisor Diane Jacob has opposed the release of Badger in the backcountry due to his violent history as a serial sexual predator. She has noted that in recent years, other sexual predators placed in rural East County have violated the terms of their release and were sent back to a mental institution. Reporting for East County Magazine and KNSJ, this is Miriam Raftery. This is a public service announcement for the Mountain Health and Community Services. Mountain Health and Community Services is looking for a happy ending for a Christmas toy story. Serving rural areas of East County and other parts of San Diego for over 30 years, the nonprofit health organization needs hundreds of toys donated to give to low-income children at Christmas holiday parties this year. Usually, the organization receives a grant for 400 toys from Mattel Toy, but this year that did not come through. These toys go to underserved kids in Hakumba, Campo, Alpine, downtown San Diego, and Escondido, so they need community help this year to help these children have a happy holiday season. They're asking anybody who can help to provide new unwrapped toys for children of all ages, boys and girls. The organization is also collecting canned and dry foods for the Campo Food Pantry, which helps local low-income families. Items needed include pasta, pasta sauces, tuna, peanut butter, cereals, and similar items. Toys and canned goods can be dropped off until December 17th at the Alpine Family Medicine at 1620 Alpine Boulevard in Alpine, or the Mountain Empire Family Medicine at 3115 Highway 94 in Campo. The holiday parties are always a big event. They include a family meal, crafts, toys for the children, a chat with Santa, and shopping at Santa's workshop. For more information or to volunteer to help the Mountain Health and Community Services with these events, visit www.mtnhealth.org. This is a public service announcement from the nonprofit East County Magazine regarding the Viejas Wildfire and Emergency Alert Service. During a wildfire, it's critical to receive timely news about evacuations, shelters, threatened communities, and other vital information. Viejas Wildfire and Emergency Alerts are available free to the public via email, or you can receive the alerts via Twitter on your mobile phone. You can get information on how to sign up for these free alerts at www.eastcountymagazine.org. The Viejas Wildfire and Emergency Alerts are produced by East County Magazine with support from the Viejas Band of the Kumeyaay Nation.
This is Julian Rudd Falls reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ. The U.S. Postal Service is offering a reward of up to $50,000 for information leading to arrest and conviction of two suspects who robbed a mail carrier in El Cajon on Wednesday, November 27th at 5:05 p.m. The theft occurred in the 2400 block of Fletcher Parkway. Both suspects were described as 25 to 30 years old, white with medium build, about 5 feet 11 inches tall. One suspect had a teardrop tattoo under his left eye and wore a long-sleeved dark shirt, dark shorts, black knee-high socks, and black shoes. The other suspect had full-sleeve-like tattoos on both arms. He wore a white SoCal t-shirt, shorts, and black shoes. Robbing a U.S. mail carrier is a federal crime that can result in imprisonment of up to 10 years. If you have information about this crime, call the U.S. Postal Inspectors at 877-876-2455.
The East County Magazine Show on KNSJ Radio is produced by the nonprofit Heartland Coalition. We're your community news. We reflect your interest, not special interest. You can get involved by volunteering, get trained to be a citizen journalist, and support East County Magazine at www.eastcountymagazine.org. And you can send your news tips and story ideas to editor@eastcountymagazine.org.
You are listening to KNSJ 89.1 FM, Descanso.
Welcome to Destination East County with your host, Ariel Johansson, bringing you the most exciting festivals, events, and attractions each week. A holiday wine trail will be held for the first time on Saturday and Sunday, December 7th and 8th in Ramona. Guests will receive tastings at each of six wineries, one catered food pairing at each, and their own holiday wine trail glass. Wine trail riders can spread the trail out over the two-day weekend or choose which day works best. On Sunday, there will be live music at Ramona Ranch. Alpine Village Christmas Parade of Lights rolls out, along with the Snow Festival, on Friday, December 6th at 6:30 p.m. This event is sponsored by the Alpine Chamber, and guests can expect to see various vehicles, anything with wheels, and the family or family pets for the 18th annual Alpine Village Christmas Parade of Lights. The parade march ends at the Free Snow Festival with real snow at the Alpine Creek Town Center on Tavern Road. Santa Claus will be there, a community Christmas tree, free snow sledding, family-friendly activities, and crafters and vendors until 10 p.m. Local country stores and restaurants will be open for guests. As we know, Santa is busy this year. On Sunday, December 8th, snow and Santa are in the forecast from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. at the annual Santa at the Lakes at Santee Lakes Recreational Preserve. Besides snow for sledding and visits from Santa, guests can enjoy pony rides, a petting zoo, hay rides, holiday arts and crafts activities, carnival rides, inflatables, boat rides, and s'mores by the fire. The Lakeside Historical Society is hosting its 25th annual holiday home tour on Saturday, December 7th, from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Home tourists can enjoy a self-guided tour of five unique homes in the Lakeside area, including one with an exceptional view of Rattlesnake Mountain and two Moreno Valley homestead cottages with collectibles, Clydesdale horses, antiques, and unique decorations. Ticket sales help preservation efforts and can be purchased from the Historical Society's Old Community Church on Main Avenue in the heart of Lakeside's Historic District. The History Center is open Tuesday to Saturday, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m., or you may call their office for information. The Lakeside Museum next door to the Historical Society Church will also be open on tour day for guests to see antiques donated by Lakeside Pioneer families, as well as the Mrs. Claus Christmas resale shop. A staging of Charles Dickens' A Christmas Carol with 74 student actors dressed in period costumes will be held this weekend on Friday and Saturday, December 6th and 7th, at the Joan B. Kroc Theater on University Avenue near La Mesa. The performance includes piano accompaniment and live music by Suzuki Strings. The song God Rest Ye Merry Gentlemen will be sung by a 37-voice, all-girl junior high and high school choir in period costumes. Showtimes are Friday, December 6th at 7 p.m., and two performances on Saturday, December 7th, are at 2 p.m. and 6 p.m. Another theatrical performance in East County this weekend is on Friday, December 6th, the Winter Wonder Jam, held at Cuyamaca College, featuring local bands playing original music. Attendees can bring a donation to the San Diego Food Bank or Toys for Tots in lieu of purchasing a ticket. The performance is from 7 to 10 p.m. Lions, tigers, and bears in Alpine, San Diego's only big cat and exotic animal rescue, has its Christmas festival on Saturday, December 7th, from 12 to 4 p.m. Guests will be able to watch the animal friends open their presents, as well as shop at this event with lots of local vendors, food, entertainment, and Santa Claus. A VIP package is available. Sunset Publications' annual free holiday party is on Thursday, December 5th, with light refreshments, a chili bar, and authors speaking on these titles: Love on a Leash, Pet Therapy, Rock Art of the Grand Canyon Region, and Waiting for Tsunami. The party will be held at the Sunbelt Publications office on Fayette Street in El Cajon during the hours of 5 through 9 p.m. Guest speakers begin at 6 p.m. Faith Chapel in La Mesa presents A Visit to Bethlehem called The Bethlehem Story, which is enhanced by storytellers, bakers, brickmakers, and petting animals as visitors stroll through the town. Showings are Thursday through Sunday, December 5th through 8th, 6 p.m. to 9 p.m., but guests are asked to show up by 8:30 p.m. at the latest. At the Space Bar Internet Cafe on University Avenue in La Mesa, every Friday is free comedy night, rated PG-13, from 8 p.m. to 9:30 p.m., and is ongoing throughout the month of December. Arbor Day at Mission Trails Regional Park is being celebrated at the Equestrian Staging Area on Saturday, December 7th at 9 a.m. The public is invited to take part in the donation and/or planting of oak trees. Volunteers may help with the planting or act as cheerleaders. Volunteers are also needed to pull weeds and help with general landscape maintenance of the area. Some shovels will be available, but it would be helpful if you could bring your own. Gloves and comfortable shoes are recommended. It's a busy day in the park Saturday as Mission Trails Regional Park's tracking guide leads hikers on Saturday, December 7th at 8:30 p.m. on a two-hour dirt time adventure to learn the art of animal tracking and find evidence of critters and their lifestyles. Wear long pants and meet in front of the visitor center. There is another guided hike the same morning, Saturday, December 7th, same location, a little later at 9:30 a.m., called Winter Green World. Hikers get to delve into the sage and chaparral wildlands with the trail guide to learn facts about the plants and animals that sustained Native Americans and today delight modern observers. Additional dates for this repeating hike are on our calendar. The Rancho San Diego Library in El Cajon is holding a celebration of all things Hobbit in preparation for the arrival of the movie The Hobbit: Desolation of Smaug. Celebrate the Hobbit is set for 2 p.m. Saturday, December 7th. The Star Party Marvels on Saturday night, December 7th, is an event in which participants can join in the solar exploration with Mission Trails Regional Park's resident stargazer, George Varga, as he scopes in on the Andromeda Galaxy M31 and companion M32, the Double Cluster in Perseus, the Pleiades, Seven Sisters, and more. Participants meet at the far end of the day-use parking lot of the Kumeyaay Lake Campground at 2 Father Junipero Serra Trail in San Carlos for a 5 p.m. to 8 p.m. star party. The Sam Johnson Jazz Group will be entertaining at Cosmos Coffee Cafe in La Mesa on La Mesa Boulevard every Friday from 3 p.m. to 5 p.m. Performances are ongoing until the end of March. The band includes Johnson on electric and upright bass, along with Alan Worthington on guitar, and George Kisas on sax. Nathan Weldon will be performing acoustic folk music at Bistro 60 and San Diego Desserts every Friday evening from 6:30 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. throughout the month of December. Bistro 60 is located on El Cajon Boulevard in the college area of San Diego. A midweek spoken word event takes place on Wednesday evening, December 4th, at the San Diego State's Malcolm A. Love Library from 7 to 8 p.m. Poet Sandra Alcocer will read from her work as part of the Fall 2013 Hugh Hyde Living Writers Series. Alcocer teaches poetry and fiction at San Diego State University and is the author of Sleeping Inside the Glacier and Except by Nature. Her poems have been published in The New Yorker, among others. Now for some ongoing holiday events. A Julian specialty, the Julian Christmas Train Express, will be running through December 31st, where guests can take a one-mile train ride to an 1870 gold rush mine, with some surprises along the way. Viejas Outlet Skating Rink in Alpine is open each holiday season and winter, where skaters and non-skaters alike may enjoy this outdoor ice rink, which is larger than the famed Rockefeller Center rink in New York and the largest in Southern California. The Santa Train, the North Pole Limited, is accepting reservations now for its ongoing Christmas rail journey every Saturday and Sunday from December 6th through December 21st. Starting at the Campo Railroad Museum with fun and good cheer, guests will board the Limited. As it leaves the depot, Santa's elves will serve cookies and hot chocolate. An onboard book reading of a popular Christmas story leads up to the arrival at Santa's workshop, where the train will stop just long enough for Santa to board for the return trip to Campo. Santa will visit with all of the children on the train on the way home. Reservations are required in advance. Now, a preview of some upcoming events in the next few weeks. Downtown La Mesa is decorated and ready for its annual Christmas in the Village event, which happens from 5 to 10 p.m. on December 13th and 14th. A holiday parade starts at 5 p.m. both days to kick off the event. This free event, held on La Mesa Boulevard between Spring Street and Acacia Avenue, will feature carolers, horse-drawn carriages, crafts vendors, and street entertainers. The Salvation Army Croc Center's Croc Kids Junior Theater Company presents the holiday classic Babes in Toyland with some fresh new music throughout the weekend of December 13th through 15th at the Joan B. Croc Theater. Showtime is 7 p.m. both Friday and Saturday and 2 p.m. on Sunday. This family-friendly performance features more than 30 local children from ages 8 through 17 years. The San Diego Concert Band launches its 25th anniversary season with a holiday concert at the Joan B. Croc Theater called Joyous Celebration on Tuesday, December 17th at 7 p.m. Under the direction of Roy Anthony Jr., the San Diego Concert Band will perform a variety of holiday and winter season selections, including some band members' favorites from the past 25 years. That's a lot, but it's all for this week. All of these events and more can be found on our calendar and in our festival and events section at www.eastcountymagazine.org. See you around, East County!
Welcome to Bookshelf, bringing you stories of local literary luminaries and some great books to read. My name is Raina Menashe, and I'll be your host for this segment. Today I'm interviewing Dr. D. L. Fabry, author of a new ebook called Teaching Well, Using Classroom Instructional Strategies to Increase Your Teaching Effectiveness by Ready or Not Press. My guest is also Associate Professor at National University School of Education and serves as Master of Arts in Teaching Program Lead with teachers returning for postgraduate degrees. Welcome, Dr. Fabry. It's a pleasure having you on our program.
It's a pleasure to be here. Thanks for having me.
Let's start with the well-known assertion, also referred to in your website, that American high school students are academically behind their European and Asian counterparts. In your opinion, why does this gap exist, and what can we do about it?
Well, the National Center for Educational Statistics provides us with some grim information. Yeah, they basically are talking about the fact that the test that they give show United States fourth graders performing poorly, middle school students worse, and high school students are unable to compete with their international peers. Why that's happening? In my opinion, too many classrooms are being designed in the 19th century format for 21st century learners. Yeah, we seem to have a lot of high school teachers who are still using a lecture format. We know that our students today enjoy interactivity. They love the challenge of going out into the internet and exploring what's available. If we had more classrooms that really looked at how our students learn, which, by the way, this group of high school teachers did and changed the way they taught, we would see a change in the abilities of our high school students.
And does this have anything to do with the way homework is given as well? Because I know that there is more homework now than before, and yet our students are not competing.
In my opinion, homework needs to be meaningful. Too often, and unfortunately, this kind of goes back to the No Child Left Behind legislation that has done a dismal job in accountability. That's what it was intended for. But giving homework for homework's sake doesn't produce results. Giving meaningful homework, where students have a purpose and learn something and can apply it, makes it work.
Right. Well, before we get to the specifics of your book, tell us a little bit about your teaching background and what it's like to share your knowledge and your experience with others.
4 decades ago, I started teaching in a small rural school in West Virginia.
Okay.
Long time ago. Things have certainly changed. I went on and got a master's degree and became a reading specialist, taught in Colorado with a group of high-risk seventh graders. These students were reading on the second and third grade reading level.
Wow.
Yeah, and not uncommon, unfortunately, in education. The good news is I started reaching them through asking them at the beginning of each school year, what are you interested in learning about? What turns you on? And developed a program to entice them to read and learn, starting with where they were. It became very, very successful. First book I wrote was Opening Doors to Reading based on that curriculum. Kids love to learn. You just have to know how to reach them. And I became passionate then about sharing that information with teachers in the classroom, went on to get my doctorate at the University of Colorado, and have been in higher education ever since.
Great. It's great to hear so much passion about it. I know you say that you were issued a wake-up call to high school faculty, administrators, and educators to transform the energy in the classrooms. So tell me more about that, about transforming the energy in the classroom. Is it just to instill the passion that you were just talking about, or what else does the wake-up call mean to you?
Well, basically what happened, I had a cohort of students at Granite High School here in the local San Diego area. And these high school teachers, I could tell, loved teaching, but were really struggling with how to get their students excited. So we went on a two-month journey together and started using some instructional strategies that they would go into their classroom, try them, see how their students reacted to them, and come back and share with their other fellow teachers. This resulted in a true transformation of them as teachers. They wanted students to be passionate. In order for students to be passionate, the teacher has to be passionate.
Are these simple strategies? Could you give one very brief example?
Yes. One of the things that the physical ed teacher of all groups, because we had him across everything, chemistry, math. Mm-hmm. And I found the physical ed teacher really interesting because she was struggling with how to implement them. One of these is doing quick assessments in the classroom so they know exactly where your students are at all times instead of, you know, end of course tests and those kinds of things. So she started doing an effort analysis. She would at one point, maybe 15 minutes into the class, blow a whistle, stop, and say, "Let me know what effort level you're putting out, 1, 2, or 3. One means you're not really participating. 2, you're a little bit of effort. 3, you're really in there trying to learn these new skills." She said it absolutely transformed the students because they knew that at multiple times during the class, they were going to get a whistle stop, and they had to stand there, hold up their hand with 1, 2, or 3 on it.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, and it really reinvigorated that physical ed classroom.
It's like the subjective scale that doctors give for pain, but you have to assess your effort.
Yes.
Great idea.
And we know that one of the other strategies is helping students understand it's up to them to learn, and it's the amount of effort they put into it that will increase their learning. And often, students don't make that connection.
Right. Well, what is your advice for all those listeners out there who may not be teachers, but they have kids in high school, as I do, and they feel concerned about what and how those kids are learning? How can parents work with teachers to increase students' academic success?
Okay, so we've got a couple questions here. One is, how do you know what's going on in the classroom with your own kids? Well, first of all, of course, you talk to them. Mm-hmm. When you talk to them, you also keep in mind that they may dramatize things just a little bit because they are in high school. But if you keep hearing, "I'm bored, I'm not, you know, I, the teacher is boring me," that really is a strong message. And to help that, help your child connect to the learning. Mm-hmm. This is a bit controversial, but what we teach in schools is usually the baseline information. We don't really have time in the classroom to get students to the enrichment mode. That's what parents need to be doing, in my opinion. It's have those conversations, get those nuggets of, "Oh, I see my child is turned on by this." Challenge them. Say, "Okay, by the end of the week, I want to have a conversation with you. Tell me 3 new things you learned about that."
So it's encouraging critical thinking at home as well as at school.
It's so important to help our kids know that learning goes way beyond the classroom. It has to go way beyond the classroom. How do you apply it? How do you get jazzed about it?
Right.
Yes.
Okay.
And the second one is, how can parents work with teachers to increase students' academic success? I think it's, again, making a connection to your child's teachers. You'll get to know them and know the problems that they're having. If they've got a classroom of 50, that automatically red flags it for you, and you say, "Oh, okay, I need to know 3 things I can do at home so that when my child goes in, he's prepared for the day, and he or she can then engage more in the learning."
And that brings me to my next question. Obviously, the educational system, both at the college level and the high school level and the elementary school level, has changed a lot in the last several decades. What would you say are the biggest changes, or any changes that stand out in your mind that you particularly like or dislike?
There are a couple of things that I dislike, and one of those is the over-focus on assessment that came out of the No Child Left Behind legislation. Mm-hmm. What we have seen, and I have clearly seen it over the last 5 to 10 years, is teaching to the test. All the curriculum focuses on what's being, you know, tested. We have narrowed and limited our curriculum down, and what we're seeing are bored students because of that. We don't have to teach that way. And that's one of the things in talking with teachers in my classroom, and say, "Well, how do we design curriculum that's engaging?" And we talk about that, and they become reignited in that. What I like is the fact that we have fabulous technologies that we can use to help connect children mm-hmm. to learning. We are in the information age, and there is so much out there. Using it to help students think critically. solve problems. Mm-hmm. Know that the problems they face as an elementary child, middle, or high school, you can connect all over the world with peers to find out what's going on and come up with solutions together. Using technology to engage students is one of the best changes.
Use it more creatively.
And use it so creatively. And that's another thing parents can do. Parents can help take whatever assignments that teachers have given and add that enrichment piece to it and challenge them. I've done that with my own children and say, oh, this history lesson is so boring. Well, let's make the history lesson more interesting. Last week was a perfect example. We had the 50th anniversary of the assassination of John F. Kennedy.
Right.
I'm hoping every parent had a conversation with their child about that and said, I was a seventh grade student and heard it on the bus on the way home. This is how it impacted me. Or talk to your grandparents and ask them where they were and what that meant.
Make it real.
Make it real. Make it relevant.
Okay, one last question. Will you continue to write in the education field? In other words, what's next book-wise?
Well, books seem to just come to me because people say, I need to know that. Do you have that written down someplace?
Okay.
What's going to be next? I'm not sure, but it sounds like what I'm hearing from parents is perhaps a need for, give me some ideas about how I can help my kids outside of school and perhaps write a creative book to help parents help their kids connect and take charge of their own learning and know that there's so much more to learning than what happens in that classroom.
And maybe manage the stress that the child is feeling. There's my idea.
I like that. I like that idea a lot because I really think that the key to all of this is helping our kids know that school's just the beginning point.
Right.
Yeah, there's so much more to learning and becoming and growing and flourishing. So sounds like we've got a good idea going.
Great. Well, our time is up, but thank you again for joining us. For more information on Dr. D. L. Fabry, please visit our website at www.onteachingwell.com. Again, this is Raina Menashe, and you have been listening to East County Magazine's Bookshelf, bringing you stories of local literary luminaries and some great books to read.
This is a public service announcement for the Mountain Health and Community Services. Mountain Health and Community Services is looking for a happy ending for a Christmas toy story. Serving rural areas of East County and other parts of San Diego for over 30 years, the nonprofit health organization needs hundreds of toys donated to give to low-income children at Christmas holiday parties this year. Usually, the organization receives a grant for 400 toys from Mattel Toy, but this year that did not come through. These toys go to underserved kids in Hakumba, Campo, Alpine, downtown San Diego, and Escondido, so they need community help this year to help these children have a happy holiday season. They're asking anybody who can help to provide new unwrapped toys for children of all ages, boys and girls. The organization is also collecting canned and dry foods for the Campo Food Pantry, which helps local low-income families. Items needed include pasta, pasta sauces, tuna, peanut butter, cereals, and similar items. Toys and canned goods can be dropped off until December 17th at the Alpine Family Medicine at 1620 Alpine Boulevard in Alpine, or the Mountain Empire Family Medicine at 3115 Highway 94 in Campo. The holiday parties are always a big event. They include a family meal, crafts, toys for the children, a chat with Santa, and shopping at Santa's workshop. For more information or to volunteer to help the Mountain Health and Community Services with these events, visit www.mtnhealth.org.
The East County Magazine Show on KNSJ Radio is produced by the nonprofit Heartland Coalition. We're your community news. We reflect your interest, not special interest. You can get involved by volunteering, get trained to be a citizen journalist, and support East County Magazine at www.eastcountymagazine.org. And you can send your news tips and story ideas to editor@eastcountymagazine.org.
You're listening to East County Magazine Show on KNSJ 89.1 FM, Descanso.
This is a public service announcement from the nonprofit East County Magazine regarding the Viejas Wildfire and Emergency Alert Service. During a wildfire, it's critical to receive timely news about evacuations, shelters, threatened communities, and other vital information. Viejas Wildfire and Emergency Alerts are available free to the public via email, or you can receive the alerts via Twitter on your mobile phone. You can get information on how to sign up for these free alerts at www.eastcountymagazine.org. The Viejas Wildfire and Emergency Alerts are produced by East County Magazine with support from the Viejas Band of the Kumeyaay Nation. This concludes today's episode of East County Magazine's radio show. We extend our appreciation to the San Diego Performance Academy for the use of their studio, to the Heartland Coalition, our parent nonprofit, and to KNSJ 89.1 FM, broadcasting from the heart of East County and Descanso. We also thank the musicians who provided music for our show, Laura Preble, Jim Hannibal, Corey Clement, Giovanni Galicia and the Smashing Beats, Donnie Gentile, Wooden Ambulance, Dusty Summer Road, A.K. Jules, Brian Boykel, Royalty Free Music, Frank Nora, Kevin McLeod, April's Dance from the Smart Sound Solo Simplicity Collection, and Turco, Nomads of the Silk Road. We also thank the County of San Diego for a community enhancement grant to support our Destination East County segment. If you have story ideas or would like to underwrite the East County Magazine radio show, please contact editor@eastcountymagazine.org or call 619-698-7617. We'll be back soon for another edition of East County Magazine's radio show.